The invention of a car that you'd use by drumming.
I'm alive!
Daytona!
I'm just telling the audience about Scotty's good thing, about Scotty's brilliant idea.
I do love a good orphan punchline. Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of Sig Addicts AM. I am your host, Beef McKinley Jr. Joining me tonight, the people's champion, Stevie Grant.
I've decided that AM stands for after mass, so this is like a podcast that you can listen to after you've had your evening mass and be all religious and that.
Oh dear goodness.
And dear goodness. That was nice. It wasn't like I said religion was dumb.
have a special guest for at least
I respect everyone's beliefs.
We had this discussion on Winterfest.
It's a very bad thing to be in this day and age, especially with all of the prejudice going on in the world.
Steven! Joining us also
And I'm fine with Jewish people as well. You know, I'm fine with all races. I think everyone...
Joining us also tonight, for the love of God, it's Scotty Moe.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy birthday, Sega Saturn. You're 20 years old. You're almost old enough to drink, but I'm going to pour alcohol on you anyway.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Can it fuck in America yet?
Oh, well, yeah, the age of consent in the state that I live in is 16, so it's been good.
Okay, it's 16.
And it's been good.
Look,
and it, oh, yeah.
Look, we need Tom here to talk about age of consents.
Wait. I want to ask then. So that means that you can fuck someone before you can drink.
Correct.
Yes.
Well, I guess that means a lot of teenagers aren't really getting that much fucked, aren't they? Because that's pretty much what drives
stopping it from happening, Stevie.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that alcohol is a big factor of the sex that you have sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
Alright, okay. There we go. And I respect all religions equally.
Oh boy.
What do you mean, oh boy? It's not like I'm saying that everyone who's religious should die.
Nothing, I just forgot what it's like to host a show with you.
What do you mean? I'm being courteous, I'm being nice. Have I said anything offensive? No, I am being nice and fresh-faced, and
Brett, why don't you tell, introduce me to the people that have never heard me before?
I did. I said you were here.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's all I need. What's up, everybody?
Tell them about your drums.
I play them.
Good. Now, what about your milkshake?
Glad to hear this does not bring all the boys to the yard.
Okay.
Tom has tweeted at Radio Sega saying, "Glad to hear this is the week Sega Addicts gets canceled."
It is the week we'll get canceled. Specifically,
I wanted to see to it that it went out with a bang.
Yeah. And by bang, we mean what Stevie was talking about.
Like many religions lately.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. Woo!
So what if,
Scotty, what have you been playing?
More than 10 years.
You're our guest!
I found the mirror, and Schmeagol almost stole it from me, but he didn't. And then I told my grandma that I was going to Hong Kong, but my stupid-ass friend said, can we swear on this? Whoops.
Yes, whatever. Yes.
Okay, cool, yeah.
Fuck it. You were my dumb friend...
Scotty, listen to this.
No, Stevie,
cunt.
No. No,
the word cunt. Stevie. That's cool. I'm being edgy. Cunt is cool. Look, the word cunt, little pink button inside of the vag. That's
Oh
my god!
Look how edgy I'm being.
Shinmu!
I wasn't gonna... you ruined the surprise. That's fine. No, I've just been playing Shenmue and been playing a cool game called Aether 1 that if anyone has PS Plus in North America, you should download it because it's free. It's a first-person puzzle game. Kind of reminds me of Myst. Kind of cel-shaded sort of graphics. But it's cool. It's a nice, chill game. Good stuff. And some Sonic Spinball here and there for... the podcast on the Sega Addicts site that you should check out in about a week, because we talk about that game and how crazy it is.
Yes, absolutely.
How bad it is as well, because it's a pretty bad game.
Sonic Spinball's fun.
Pretty bad. Next, you're going to say that you actually enjoy Sonic R.
We won't talk about Sonic R yet.
Do you enjoy Sonic R?
Yeah. It's broken as hell, but it has a special place in my heart. In my art.
Well, I guess you can feel the sunshine, at least.
It does brighten up my day.
Goodness. Goodness me. Did you play anything else, Mr. Mo?
Nope.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Why didn't you?
I guess I have to turn the floor over... to the edgelord, Stevie
I'm
Grant.
I'm the edgelord. I have more edges than a cube.
You have more edges than a black and red hedgehog.
That's Sorry, I like the fact that I was looking at the chat, and as soon as I said that, it just said TBC is quit. So, I guess my jokes
are too edgy. Too edgy for him.
I'm too edgy. I've got which is very ironic considering my body shape. No, what have I been playing? I played more Titan Souls. That's a good, still a good game. Just been
I did play that, actually. I forgot for like 20 minutes, if even that. So
I gotta interrupt y'all for a second. Casey says, I like how Scotty asked if you could swear after Stevie exceeded the monthly quota in the first 2 minutes.
Oh, I didn't even notice. I guess I'm just used to how he talks.
Thanks, yay, boss.
No, I told you all about Titan Souls, so what was your impression of it?
Oh, I really barely put any time into it. I defeated one boss, so I don't even know if I have an opinion on it yet.
Okay. Well, it's a good game.
So, yeah, it seemed cool. Just playing it on my Vita a little bit, but I'll check it out more for sure.
Oh, yeah, you asked what I was playing.
Yes!
Yeah, Titans, a bit more Hotline Miami 2. I'm not surprising anyone there, obviously. If I could do it, I would just put all Hotline Miami music on Radio Sega.
No, you just need to make it Radio Miami.
Yeah, Radio Miami, that's a good one. I'm just trying to think of what I've played. I guess not that much, just same old, same old. To be honest, there's not really anything come out that's like grabbed my attention recently. I don't know, is there anything that's come out recently?
Slow time. I mean, I just said I played Dreamcast and a free game on PS Plus, so...
Yeah. Well,
I guess Mortal Kombat X was the big one, but I'm waiting till the complete version of that comes out, I guess. Hello. Is what it's called. Because I can't deal with all that DLC nonsense they're doing with that game.
Nope. Not at all. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm not pressing X to Jason.
Yeah, we know he does.
That's the second best pressing X to Jason in video games ever.
I'm not defending the DLC that much, because I'm not buying it. Because none of it looks interesting to me to pay $29 for.
Well, it's just all selling you things that were cheats. I think Easy Fatalities was a cheat in...
Oh, God. Easy Fatalities is the most pointless DLC in the history of the world.
Yep.
Just fucking awful. And you can unlock that shit in the crypt, too, so... What's the point of buying it? Unless you don't want to be attacked by dogs.
Why is Blame Stevie a hashtag? I thought I was right.
No reason, just part of the campaign. Keep going.
Right, well, I'm going to start a new hashtag, which is Scotty DePedo. And that is great.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Scotty Diddles.
Well, okay. If you listen to the episode...
Scotty, if you listen to the episode of the Sega Addicts podcast, you just made that for yourself.
If I ever become a professional rapper, it'll be Scotty Diddles.
Yeah, so Scotty Diddles is the hashtag that you've just made for yourself.
Excellent.
And the new Wine and Spirit album title.
No, it isn't.
Actually, I thought of some album titles for your next album.
Oh, splendid.
Oh, boy. Let's,
I guess bring the chat up today real quick. I am in a Pittsburgh rock band called Wine and Spirit, and so, you know, I think at one point maybe I mentioned we were working on an album at some point whenever. We have a couple out, but Stevie has insisted that it's called Birth Defects.
Yeah, your second album is called Birth Defects.
We're working on our third.
It's the third.
I've got an idea for what your third album can be called, though.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, no.
Prolapsed anus.
Which, take that immediately. I'm just gonna tell you this.
Don't type that into Google Images. I have.
No.
It's not very nice.
Yeah, a bunch of elephant trunks. So anyway, yeah. What else is going on?
Yeah, don't ever type in Rosebud.
What's Rosebud do?
That's the nickname for prolapsed anus.
Is it?
I've never heard that.
Wow!
Look!
That's
Google,
cringeworthy.
Look.
Brett, what websites do you go to?
I just saw it on fucking Facebook, of all things.
Well, was it your aunt put something on there about a prolapsed anus? Is her anus?
No! No! No!
You got a family of prolapsed anuses.
Look! We're getting away from that. We're going to talk about what I've been playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what this podcast starts for. It's not Sega Addicts AM, it's Sega Addicts Anal Massacre.
Oh, God! God damn! Anyways, I went into more detail about this on next week's Sega Addicts podcast, so I won't go into too great detail, but I picked up the Mortal Kombat 9 arcade stick for about $35 from a flea market in Virginia, and at the same time I picked up Rumble Roses for a PS2. I'm having fun with it, despite its many, many quirks, I guess you could say. It's a solid wrestling game, has cool presentation. It's very campy and cheesy, but I watch pro wrestling, I'm used to that at this point. I've been playing Race the Sun a little bit. That was a free one, and it's alright. It's not exactly my favorite thing, but I don't know what kind of game
that is. I've downloaded it too because it was free, so.
It's like an Endless Runner, basically. Except you're like a plane type thing. It's kind of interesting. I've also been playing. My mind is a blank. Oh, yes! Ultra Street Fighter 4 on the Throwdown. That happened. That was fun. We're going to be playing Street Fighter Third Strike on the Throwdown this week. So, been practicing with that a little bit. I'm infinitely worse at that game. But it has such a great soundtrack, I just don't even care. And, I've been playing more Ace Attorney Dual Destinies. I'm on case 2 of that right now. And I really wish I could play as Apollo more. Like, he does not get enough love in that game.
And, okay. I just want to mention that I can't pronounce your name.
I can't pronounce it either.
If you can put it phonetically.
Mixy Talk.
Yeah, he just Google searched prolapse anuses, so it's not. It's not very pretty. Also, something else you don't want to Google search, which I did, was people without eyelids. That can be quite disturbing.
Ah, no. Anyways, speaking of prolapse anuses, I've also been playing Akiba Strip on PS4. I finally got it installed. And that game, it clearly has a reputation about it, but I don't think it follows that reputation. Yeah, I mean, on first glance, it's about stripping people, and it's totally fan service, and it's totally a hentai game. But once you get into playing it, it has its moments, but it's no more lewd than like a Neptunia game or anything. Actually, I think it's a lot tamer than Neptunia.
Brett, do you read porn for the articles as well? Is that what you're doing?
No, it's really not. It's not that bad. Like, it's legitimately not as bad as I thought it would be. Because you think, it's about stripping people. It's going to be boobs and butts. And it's not really. It's very.
Brett, in my mind, all I'm hearing is, well, actually, Rarity is a very well-developed character, and the ponies all have a really, really, well-developed friendship, and the animation doesn't look like subpar Flash. It's actually very well-constructed.
I miss hearing Stevie's weeboo impression.
I give up.
What you got to do is hold your nose. Sorry, Brett, what do you like about this My Little Pony game?
I give up. Let's play some music.
Okay, I would like to make a point about this music, which is that Brett royally fucked up my block.
Actually, we're going with Scotty's block first, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, we're going with Scotty. He's the guest, and he's leaving soon. We have to do his block first. Yeah, all of these songs are from Wine and Spirit, by the way.
Enjoy. No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. Coming from the upcoming album, no. Prolapsed Anuses.
No, oh no.
Oh, God.
Upcoming album. 2012, no. Watch out for it, Coney.
So we're going to do, like we mentioned, it's the Sega Saturn's 20th birthday. So I picked a couple of Saturn songs. The first one is from Sonic R. Hopefully everyone will know it. Sing along if you have no shame. Can You Feel the Sunshine? Then a nice tune from Jet Set Radio Future for our buddy Nick Flair on the website.
Let's get him to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, then some music from Nights in a Dreams, more Saturn stuff. And then the last one is from Sonic 3D Blast, the much superior soundtrack on the Sega Saturn, from Spring Stadium Act 2.
I got Act 1. Was it supposed to be Act 2?
No. You're right. I read wrong. I can't remember.
Okay. Thank God.
I thought Brett fucked it up again.
But I did. No, end it with a little jazzy number there. So, yeah. Let's,
If we're doing stuff like we're going to ask viewers questions during the song breaks to discuss. So here's the question.
Absolutely.
While you're listening to Scotty Blows Diddle's music block, discuss in the chat or tweet us at AddictsAM, hashtag AddictsAM, which Sega character do you think would have the worst prolapsed anus?
Nope. I have a better idea.
Real question, what's your favorite Sega Saturn game? So, Brett...
Yeah, that's a rubbish one. Prolapse
Brett, Brett yeah, let's find out if we can all feel the sunshine.
Yeah, let's find out if we can feel the sunshine.
You can't if you've got a prolapsed anus.
God damn it!
Just go. Do it.
Yeah, I'm playing music. I'll see y'all after the break. Peace, crackers.
You're listening to Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music. 24/7. Sega!
Android Mod 4. Ace do scrap 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 Mod 4. Who wants the hot 4? 5 wants 4.
Check me out, y'all.
For a new point, hit your bets down, ladies and gentlemen. He's a rolling point as nine, place nine, place nine. Eight shooting for nine, five shooting for nine. He's a rolling point as nine, place nine. Eight shooting for nine, five shooting for nine. Who wants to come? Six to point. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. So funky.
So funky. Check me out, y'all.
Eight shooting for nine. Five shooting for nine. So funky. He's a rolling point is nine. Place nine. Eight shooting for nine. Five shooting for nine. So funky. Who wants to come?
Inspector Gadget. Good film. Matthew Broderick's best film. Well, I guess that isn't saying anything.
Yeah, it's up there with Godzilla.
That's the next question for you to answer. Godzilla or Inspector Gadget, which is the best film. Do that.
So, Sega Saturn stuff, that was cool. I hope everybody dug that piano solo in Spring Stadium and felt the sunshine and wandered around their dreams and then thought about casinos with Jet Set stuff.
Yeah, basically.
Yep.
Oh, goodness. And while we were away during that song break, we had one question in the chat. Just one.
Mr. What is it? Mixed Pixel? I might be getting that wrong. Is that it? Mixed Pixel?
Mixed Master Mike. It's Mixed Master Mike.
Oh, Mixed Master Mike. No. Mr.
Mixed Master Mike.
Mr. Mixed Master Mike. Sorry. I knew you posted your name, but I couldn't see it.
Mixel Plix.
What the fucking ever. Nice guy who actually answered the question that we asked.
MXPX.
Said that he thinks due to sheer size, Dr. Eggman would have the worst prolapse anus, either him, Big the Cat, or Alex Kidd. I don't know why Alex Kidd. Personally, I would say Sonic maybe would have a prolapsed anus just because the fanboys that would just aggressively make that a thing for him. So yeah, I would say Sonic.
Hey Brent, what did people say was their favorite
Sega Saturn game? We actually asked what were people's favorite Sega Saturn game. It is the 20th anniversary of the Sega Saturn tonight, and it's pretty fucking dope. So let's go to the Twitter for a second. Hashtag AddictsAM. Our good friend, Pocky X, the mysterious one, says, I don't know what my favorite Saturn game is, but I definitely put the most hours into Fighters Megamix and Street Fighter Alpha 3, which, good on you for that last one, my brother. Well, fuck. I almost said boy, because I was going for bro or boy. Anyway, fuck it. Esper K says, Nights into Dreams, really enjoyed the music and levels. Bosses, not so much, unless Jackal and Relia. Which I agree. I fucking hate the boss fights, but I love the levels in that game.
And yeah, wasn't bad. That's actually, I wanted to pick that music, but thought it wouldn't. I don't know. I kind of wanted to keep my selection sort of chill, but Riala's theme is really cool too.
Absolutely. I can play the levels, but I can't beat the bosses. But we're gonna try to, since that is the upcoming SegaX Game of the Week in the podcast. So cool shit. And Mr. Mixmaster Mike says it's a three-way tie between D, Enemy Zero, and Deep Fear. D.
I gotta say, I don't understand what you like about D, because I finally watched that game get played on Ridiculous Wednesdays, and it was done in 40 minutes. It was the best way I can describe it is a slower mist with more shadows and enemies that look like shadows.
Yeah, but to be fair, you can beat Mist if you know what you're doing in, like, 20 minutes.
True. Nothing against your picks, Mixel Plix, but Enemy Zero and Deep Fear. Mm-hmm. I have Enemy Zero, I haven't played it yet. I do want to play that. Deep Fear I don't own, but I do want to play that, too. So I hope those are good. I don't know.
Mixmaster Mike also says he played the KOF games, King of Fighters, and the Street Fighter Alpha games on Saturn a lot. The only Saturn game he played that he didn't much care for was Street Fighter the movie of the game. Oh boy. Voluptuous Spy says favorite Sega Saturn game, Nights into Dreams.
Nice.
And game she put the most, or he, I don't know, you could be a he and Voluptuous at the same time, I don't know.
She's game a James I put Bond the most. Chick.
Yes. Game I put the most hours into is Magic Knight Rayearth. So there we go, that's an unexpected answer.
I'm very disappointed that hardly anyone answered my question.
We also had Brandometry. At Brandometry said Fighting Vipers was their favorite.
Oh, Fighting Vipers? Oh, and we had Professor Sigaface, one half of the duo that hosts Ridiculous Wednesdays. And he says, Guardian Heroes, Virtual Cop, Virtual On, so many good games, but can anything honestly beat Battle Monsters?
Yeah, yes. My dick can. I've taken better looking shits than that game.
You see, well, you're making me sad because
I'm going to go for my favorite.
That's my review.
Yeah. See, we sent Stevie a copy. Well, this is back when Alex ran the site. He sent Stevie a copy.
Wrote for
before,
the site.
Yeah, before we either of us ever wrote for the site. Stevie won a contest to get a copy of Battle Monsters. It was the
signed
original
by
Monster.
The Sega Addicts crew. I had to write a poem about Battle
all
Monsters.
All of them are.
No,
all
I did.
Of them
I still
are
have
gone
that Battle Monsters copy. So if I get a Sega Saturn, an American Sega Saturn, I would be able to play Battle Monsters. So there you go. That's
Mod
my favorite
shit,
Saturn game.
And Gazman says. Gazman says Burning Rangers.
That is one that has escaped my collection for a long time, and I really, really want it. Even though I heard it's not the best thing in the world, I have to own all Sonic Team games, so, you know, I have to be a tool like that.
Even Sonic R, which you like somehow.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
Why do you like Sonic R? You like Sonic the Fighters, don't you?
That's more an ironic enjoyment than actually legitimately thinking it's good. I mean, I know.
By the way, next week,
as hell, but it's a good time, and someday I will find three other people to play it split screen with me.
Mr. Mixmaster Mike says, "I wonder, was there a reason Sega decided to make a remake certain Phantasy Star games for Saturn instead of make a brand new one?"
Thomas Avantaz, friend of ours, and he was on the first episode of this show. Might be able to ask that because he is a Phantasy Star nut, if I am to be believed.
I thought you were about to say a Phantasy Star knob.
A Phantasy Star knob, yes. So I got no idea. Maybe they were going through the period like in the Game Boy Advanced era when Nintendo wouldn't make new Mario games. They would just re-release old ones and call them Advanced.
Wait, you say that like they've changed.
No, now they're just pumping out new ones that don't look any different.
Literally new ones since they're in the title. That's a rant for another day, though.
To be fair, that's the most ironic name for that series since they're all the fucking same, those games, really.
Yeah,
it'd
be like someone saying, like, check out this new Pet Rock.
Yeah.
So, sure is Sega around here.
We don't talk about Sega in anything we do, Scott. You've learned that by now.
Yeah.
We talk about anuses and stuff like that.
Jesus Christ.
Do you think Sonic have a blue butt?
Wait, which ones did they remake for? Did they do the first four? Did they remake those for Saturn, like graphically or something?
Or was it like a Sonic Jam type thing?
Because there was just a Phantasy Star collection. I'm just wondering if that's what he's maybe talking about.
Oh, Tom has replied to us, actually. He says, I thought Phantasy Star Collection went along with the other Sega Ages releases. Esper K would know better than me. So.
Calling you out, Esper K.
Yeah, I know you're in the chat.
So, but, I don't know.
We're while not we wait gonna on talk, that. We're just going to be silent, not play any songs until you answer.
So I'm actually gonna. I won't be here after this next set of songs finishes because I gotta go do some other things. But I thank you guys for letting me pop in and chat. You've been beautiful. It was fun talking to you guys.
Even though you never answered my question, Scotty.
What question?
You know the question that I asked.
No.
Avengers 2 was pretty good.
No, which Avenger would have the worst anus?
Probably the Hulk.
Yeah, I was gonna say that as well. Always stretching out.
I've lost control of my life.
But
Scotty,
I mean, Captain
America leaving,
is
like,
how old though?
Yeah, but he was frozen, whatever you want to call it. So he like technically the same age, I guess.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe.
Scotty, are you leaving right now? Like we're not gonna.
Well, I mean, I thought you were about to start more music.
We're going to, like, in about 10 minutes, probably. I wanted to talk about the Saturn launch, actually.
Sure,
which, as
this is how well-planned we are on this podcast. We don't even know when one of the people on who's going.
That's how we do.
Oh, my goodness. Now, the Saturn launch was a bit of an ill-fated play. It's gone down in history as one of the biggest blunders and one of the most shocking things at the same time that the company has ever done. As most people know, they were going to release it in the fall to compete with the PlayStation, but Sega of Japan... Wait, was it Japan that made the order, or was it someone else in America who made the order? Because From what I remember reading, it was Japan.
I'm not sure. I just remember this is literally how it went. Well, E3 was happening in America, and so and whoever it was at Sega was like, and you can get the Sega Saturn right now. Literally,
yeah, it was Tom Kalinske.
Was out on a Saturday. On Saturn Day, it was... retail stores didn't even know they were getting it. It just showed up there. There was no, like... mararketing ahead of time. It was a pretty sloppy launch. I didn't have one launch day at all because this
you
was a
imagine that happening now. That's so
it
weird.
Would, actually, it would kind of work now because of the internet and everything. Like back in the 90s, you know, you find out from magazines and you know maybe I don't even know there weren't
maybe
even
like
TV
cable news
really
or
that.
Something.
Yeah, it would like be it would all be word of mouth back in the 90s. So it was just not. planned out well at all.
Retailers were pissed as well because they had no way to prepare. This is one of the biggest reasons the relationship with EA got strained to the point where they were never going to release anything for Dreamcast, was they weren't able to prepare games for the Saturn properly, and they were pissed. And that pretty much killed one of the first major relationships Sega had. So it was a gigantic blunder in that regard.
Well, the thing is, it also just, like, you're talking about getting your gaming news and stuff like that. The thing about that is, if someone walked into a gaming shop and saw the Sega Saturn, I think they wouldn't... I think they'd assume it was another add-on for the Mega Drive, because they were coming out with the Sega CD, the Sega 32X. They had the Neptune plan. So if you, like, went into a store and saw, oh, it's the Sega CD, I don't think you would... actually know it was a real console and not just one of those stupid add-ons that had no good games for them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I want to give a shout out real quick to at ZazzleXZ on Twitter. He replied saying Layer Section and Cyberbots for favorite Saturn game. Layer Section is also known as Galactic Attack. Awesome fucking game. Got me into shmups, so good choice, buddy. But yes, Stevie, I could totally understand people getting confused with that. Also because it has the memory card slot in the back that looks like you could stick a Sega Genesis game into.
Oh, yeah.
So, I know that people tried to do that.
Yeah, that was...
Were you one of them, Scotty?
No, I knew better. I needed to get my memory card because my lithium battery wasn't going to last forever.
That's a reference to something, but I'm not sure which.
No, it's not. That's... fact, I was being honest. I was just saying it like an idiot.
Oh, okay. Okay, I guess then I'm just a
voice acting means references.
Okay, assume everything that I don't know, I just assume is a reference.
If it's like, something that Brett says, I assume it's from Type Zero, so I understand where you're coming from, Stevie.
Okay, good, yeah.
Or anime.
I haven't even talked about it that much in the last couple weeks.
That's actually a good point. We haven't mentioned any anime on this episode. That's got to be a first.
That's okay.
Well, you just ruined it.
Then again, we also haven't got Tom on, so...
You know what game no one said was their favorite for the Saturn? Was Panzer Dragoon Saga. You know why? Because, like, 15 people own it.
And out of them, only 5 people have actually played it.
Yeah, but I was going to say, I actually have that game. I had it when it came out because it was just what I asked Santa for Christmas that year, and he did a damn good job, but it's good. But what I wanted to bring up with that is just how much of the library, the Saturn library, is just this super rare, weird, some of them weird games, some of them not so weird, but just hard to come by. But it has some of the most rare games in like any video games, not just Sega consoles.
That's because no one had a Saturn.
What was that one that was like $400? It was a shmup. I know the name's
Radiant
the tip
Silver
of my tongue. Yes, that. I knew it was Silver something. There was that. There was Burning Rangers in America, at least. That one's hard to come by.
For some reason, Saturn Bomberman goes a little pricier than you would expect it to, but...
And so is that multi-tap.
Yeah, well, the multi-tap's not as much as Bomberman, but the Resident Evil on Sega Saturn goes for a little more than it probably should, because the only difference is an extra battle mode, which is awesome, because it does have a different boss at the end, and there's the there's different costumes and stuff, but like the only reason I own that is like if you're a big Resident Evil fan, there's not a huge difference in gameplay style or anything. So, but yeah, it's just crazy how many different rare games there are in the Saturn.
Actually, there are no Rare games on the Saturn.
Oh?
Yeah, I remember they were exclusively Nintendo till they were brought by Microsoft.
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
There were no Rare games on the Saturn.
Oh, fucking hell, Stevie.
I got you.
Oh, God.
See, I'm too good with my gaming puns.
Roger that.
Voluptuous Spy says, I wish I had the chance to get Panzer Dragoon Saga. I feel like I really missed out with that one. I have Burning Rangers, disc only, though. And Mixmaster Mike says, I found an old gaming magazine that has an article talking about Sonic Extreme. Same with Virtua Fighter RPG. Which, well, that...
Yeah, we could talk about both of those. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, it depends. I don't think the listeners are even listening right now because they can't hear anything over the sound of their own laughter of that joke that I made.
Good point. Yeah,
I think we might have to skip to wait. I feel like I should be grateful for Virtua Fighter RPG.
Oh, boy. That I turned really into Shenmue grateful. And Sonic Extreme. You know, I played the little build that was leaked and seeing it in motion and playing it. I think it's okay that it didn't get released when they wanted it to, because it really would not have been a competitor to Mario 64. I think it has lived on better as this what-if scenario rather than it coming out as not the best 3D Sonic game in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, but Sonic Adventure isn't really the best Sonic game in the world either.
I think it's a good entrance for him into full 3D. Like, 3D Blast was just isometric sprites.
To be fair, I will say that Mario 64 doesn't exactly hold up today, so yeah, I could give you that.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. But Sonic Extreme, I'm kind of glad it didn't happen. I'm okay with what happened on the Saturn in regards to that. Same. But so cool. I love my Sega Saturn though. Still play it every now and again. Well, pretty often actually. Saturn Bomberman is probably my favorite game on it. So wow. That's my answer.
Is that your favorite Bomberman? Because I know you're all crazy on the B-Man.
Yeah, it definitely is. Because that's like the default. If I have people over and we're just sitting around not playing something, I will whip out the Bomberman and two multi-taps and we'll go
You'll
crazy.
Whip out your Bomberman and show them all.
That's right, all the multi-taps.
They call me the Bomberman because I make you explode.
Mm-hmm. 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 You'll be wearing a white helmet after I'm done.
You're talking about my semen.
No, I'm talking about Bomberman.
Bomberman! Okay. Do you think that the pink thing on Bomberman's head is actually his dick? And that he ejaculates like out of the pink thing on his head? Because he hasn't actually got a dick.
Maybe. You don't know that.
His character design doesn't have like a dick in his pants, does it?
Not that I've seen.
If you type in an official piece of art, not a stupid fan art of Bomberman, I'm sure you'll find that this man. I'm sure.
Mixelflix has a good point that Sonic Extreme would be better than Sonic Boom. It'd at least be... I mean, Sonic Extreme is more finished than Sonic Boom was.
Oh, we got another reply to the favorite Dreamcast question from KeenMind32.
What about favorite Sega Saturn question?
Oh, what about my question and my new
fuck
question?
Fuck your question! I put a lot of Saturn hours into Night Warriors and Knights, which I'm surprised no one else brought up Darkstalkers, to be honest.
My new question is, where do you think Bomberman's penis is?
Excellent.
Oh my god. With that, let's go to another song block.
Yes.
And say goodbye to Scotty, actually, because he'll be gone after this.
Later, dudes. Thanks for having me on. Maybe I'll come back another time. The Sega Saturn's awesome, and all you people are awesome and beautiful. And, you know, Stevie's not really racist or anything. He just hates
I didn't say anything racist, though. That's the thing. I was being all nice and politically correct.
Mm-hmm. Scotty, mm-hmm. Plug yourself for these lovely people.
Okay, sure. You guys can find me on Twitter at ScottyMofoShow. You can also check out YouTube for some unboxings that I do in just an insane manner. Just type in search for Scotty Mo unboxing. And we mentioned before...
And I was saying...
Yeah.
Sorry, you were talking about... I was just going to say you did a very funny video with James Rolfe, the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I did one of the more recent ones. I unboxed the Angry Video Game Nerd movie with the Angry Video Game Nerd, James Rolfe, who's an awesome guy and was really cool to do that. And you can also check out my Pittsburgh, I'm in a Pittsburgh rock band, mentioned before, we're called Wine and Spirit. We're on Twitter for Wine Spirit PGH, and we do have a couple music videos that we released recently. You can check those out on YouTube as well. And that's, you can also hear me on the Sega Addicts podcast with Brett, and I think that's all I do on the interwebs, so thanks again, guys.
I wanna point out something about Wine and Spirit. We actually played one of their songs during the Winterfest spot we did. If you want a preview of that, go listen to that. It's good stuff.
And look out for their two new albums, Birth Defects and Prolapsed Anuses, in all good stores now.
Yeah, dude, doing a double. You can find that at garbage@thedumpster.com.
And the thing is, if they don't have it, that means they're not a good store. So if you go to a store and ask for those albums and they don't have it, complain until they do.
Correct.
Excellent. So we're going to play Stevie's block of music now. We'll talk about that after it's done. But we'll say goodbye to Scotty now. So we'll enjoy this music, and we'll see you after the break, minus one person.
Yeah, later!
Yeah, and that's me. I'm getting kicked off.
The best Sega music, live shows, and the chance to request your favorites. This is RadioSega.net.
Sega!
I could turn the mic back on. We'll explain.
Yeah, it is on now.
Okay, emergency technical difficulties, i.e. Brett didn't do his job right.
Not only did I get the wrong song, the song didn't download properly either.
Yeah,
so,
it was supposed to be the I don't even know. I haven't listened to this theme in fucking years, so I have no idea what you're listening to, even though I technically chose it. It was supposed to be the House of the Dead Overkill theme, but also it didn't download properly. So
it was, Oh, man. I'm sorry about that, folks. Let's talk about the stuff that actually did play, though.
We can still play Vector Man.
We've already played it.
I moved it to third. Okay, so that's the entire block done, then. Okay.
Yeah, the entire block is done, except for the House of the Dead thing. All right,
well,
fucked up.
Sorry, guys, you missed the House of the Dead theme.
But you got to listen to some pretty cool stuff.
Yes, so, including the thing that relates most to what we were talking about, Segata Sanshiro.
Totally planned, we planned this months in advance, guys.
Yeah, I knew exactly. It wasn't just because I thought it was a funny song. I knew exactly that it was the Saturn's birthday today.
And if you disagree, well, just remember Stevie is right.
Yeah, just remember that I was right.
And we also played Sky Sanctuary Act 2 from Sonic Generations.
Beautiful song. Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
The first time I played that stage, I was just stunned by how good that song is. Just so good.
In hindsight, I don't like the stage that much, but the song still holds up like crazy. And so does the classic version as well. With
they both dope-ass do.
Bass beats in it. Oh my god. That soundtrack just fucking holds up like crazy. I love it so much.
I have to try and resist. I think I have used Sonic Generations on every episode of this so far in some way, but there's just such a great soundtrack. Even the Sonic songs that were great already are rearranged perfectly. It was a great soundtrack.
Well, like, we were talking about Crisis City when we were off air, actually, and I love the concept and aesthetic of that level, and I've always loved the music from 06. But then we got the modern version in Generations, those violins and everything. It's like, oh my god!
Yeah,
this is the best.
It's all the percussion, I think, in the modern sections that really make it. And trust us to start talking about music technically when the person who's in a band leaves.
Oh man, Lowell, your first technical mishap at the show. You're on your way!
We are on our way, indeed. I don't know, it wasn't technically a technical mishap. It was a Brett-hap. It was a Hapfield.
God damn it.
It was a Brett... Hapfield. I've lost how I've said that in my own joke, so what else?
Wow. The pun machine, Stevie Grant. Punisher.
I would just like to say that Mr. I can't fucking pronounce it. Mr. Mizzy Mixelpix. I love you, okay, but I can't pronounce your name. But he just said that the commercial reminded him, because they started off what we were talking about a little bit. It's the Segata Sanshiro song. Actually sparked off a conversation about video game commercials from the 90s.
Yes.
Which says that it reminded Mr. Mixelpixel reminded him of the... it was a hacking incident where someone dressed up as Mixelpix. Okay, I'll just keep saying that now. But it was...
How now, Brown Cow?
Do you remember this? Like, it's a famous... It's a famous hacking situation, like a mysterious thing. There was a repeat of an episode of Doctor Who that was on the WGN Chicago station, and it just got interrupted by this mad guy just spouting horrible and weird things, and he was dressed as Max Headroom. And if you listen to that clip, it's like it's one of the things like that genuinely sends a chill down my spine. It's really creepy. Have you seen
I've never seen that. No.
Have you heard of it before?
No, I haven't.
Look it up. It's on a Cracked article, I think, of stuff called like explained, unexplained mysteries, but it's worth looking up because it's really creepy, and it's just, it's like someone just hacked into this station, and it, even me thinking about it, just because the voice was so distorted, it comes off as very creepy. So if you're interested in that, look it up. But yeah, it's quite cool that you mentioned that Mixel Pixel, because the Max Headroom incident, because it's very interesting. Nothing to do with Sega, though, obviously.
It was in the 90s, it's totally Sega.
Yeah, there you go. But Brett, I would like to ask you, what is your favorite Sega or the game commercial from the 90s?
The Indian Sega Genesis ad.
What's that?
Where it's a takeoff of the Sega CD ad, you have seen the games, right? One. It's
A
takeoff of that, but it's for the Sega Genesis. And it's like, that wrong answer, pal. Show him! And then it's like got the kid like pressed against the wall and screaming and shit.
Wow,
that did not come out right at all.
For some reason, in the 90s, game companies wanted you to think that having a console would literally make your head explode.
Yeah. I think one of the most iconic ones, and going back to what today is the original Sega Saturn commercials. With, like,
the
bald
theater
guy.
Of the mind?
Yeah, where it's like, we are now 5 years from entering the 21st century. And,
that
like,
was creepy.
It was so bad, but I think it's, like, gotten, it's gotten to a beloved status. Like, it made its way into Sonic Generations as part of the Cash Cash remix of Supersonic Racing.
Oh, really? Huh, that's weird.
Yeah. It's not on the OST version of the song, but it is in the in-game version, where it has clips from that ad.
Here's actually neat thing. Do you know what the Theater of the Mind ad is meant to actually like represent? Like, there's a meaning behind its madness.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Because they're like, they're people with like cone heads, like watching a Sega Saturn play a game, right?
Right.
And it just has all these weird missions. Well, they're actually supposed to represent like the rods and cones in your eyes kind of thing. So it's like the whole commercial takes place inside someone's head, and it's like the eyes debating it kind of thing. That's what I heard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was that. It was kind of to represent that, but it's also a very bad commercial in general.
Yeah, but it's lovingly bad.
It's like the you don't own a Sega CD. It's so stupid that you gotta love it in a way.
Exactly. That's how most Sega ads are at this point. Like the Genesis does with Nintendo ones, the Sonic one with the librarian and stuff like that. It's like
Sonic
like
one
with nice
library.
It's like, be like that nice boy Mario, sit down and...
yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, it's totally edgy and rebellious, yeah!
Yeah, it's so stupid when they're essentially both family-friendly characters, but Sega was trying to pass it off as, no, he's the edgy cartoon mascot.
He's the Daffy Duck to Mario's Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, actually, you know, I would say he's the Bugs Bunny to Mario's Mickey Mouse in that one made to be more edgy and more kind of like for adults and kids type things, and Mario / Mickey Mouse is more of a all family friendly kind of bland deal.
Yeah, agreed.
Also, Mr. Mixel Pixel just put a link to the WGN hacking incident. Watch it, it's very interesting, but it is like genuinely creepy, especially since it happened in real life and no one knows what happened, basically. But go look at the link in the chat.
Alright, I'll do that after the show, because if I do that now, my computer will die.
Yeah, exactly.
My toaster will die.
I'm trying to think of more game commercials. Maybe we should talk about the Sega to Sanshiro ones, because those are the Japanese ones. Those were great. It was just about a grown man beating up little kids for not playing Sega Saturn.
I like the Sagata Sanchiro commercial. I'm reading what Mitzel Pixel says, where he beats up an entire dance party with just three moves. And Twitty says they shouldn't have been dancing a night away, so he got their asses beat.
Yeah, I mean, why play sports? Sega Saturn?
Yeah, why play sports when you should be playing glorious Sega Saturn games?
Yeah, Dance Revolution, was that on the Sega Saturn?
I was about to start seeing a dance epidemic for a second.
No, PS1. Sorry, I don't know why I thought Dance Revolution came out on the Saturn.
But, I'm trying to think what other ads really stuck with me. There was the original Mortal Kombat ad that had the scream that they use for the infamous theme music now. There was that for, like, Mortal Monday. And I think they kind of paid homage to that with the Mortal Kombat X ad with Chop Suey in it. Where it's like, there's people in a city and it's just, they're screaming, like, certain things and shit.
Did you ever see the Sega print ads that appeared in UK publications that were a lot more adult orientated?
I think so.
There was a magazine called Viz over here, which is like a parody magazine for like adults with cartoons and stuff and
kind of like Mad Magazine is here.
Yeah, but way more for adults type thing, not really aimed at kids. But they had this. Let me look at Viz ads. But the magazine was called Viz, but they had like ads that like made references to masturbation and stuff. Like there was one ad and it's this person playing with a joystick and it says the more you play with the harder it gets.
Oh yeah, I have seen that.
Yeah, and there's another one which is it was playing off the tagline to be this good it takes ages to be this good at Sega or something like that.
But I have a shirt that says that actually. I won it on a Free Stuff Friday thing.
Oh, okay, right. It's basically a picture of it saying to be this good it takes ages, to be this good it takes 7 pints, and it's just a drunk guy peeing the Sega logo.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Something to do with your hands that won't make you go blind.
Yeah, that's the Game Gear one. They're pretty great because they are definitely aimed for adults as well, with all the silly innuendo and that. Which I guess is they really were trying to aim themselves for adults.
Speaking of the Game Gear and ads that kind of got them in some hot water, there was that one, remember those Game Gear ads where it's like, they got sued by Nintendo for, like, implying their, like, the Game Boy was for, you know, dullards and stuff like that?
Oh, like, I think that? I know what... I don't know about them suing them, but I remember it being, like... I think there's something, like, it, like, makes fun of people because it goes, like, you'd have to be, like, stupid or fucking retarded to, like, fucking black and white console. Yeah.
And, like, they had one about a dog, and it's like, a dog is colorblind, you're not. There's a difference or something like that.
Yeah, they really played off the fact that that it had color. But then again, the Game Boy didn't have to have 15 batteries that only lasted 2 seconds, so... Which one was the better there?
That's true. Oh, man. I miss ads like that, though.
Yeah, they're not really... Well, that's the thing we were talking about, is that ads for games right now are more like movie ads, in that they're just sort of footage from the piece of media that it is. It's not like anything outside of it, where then, like back then, they used to be like product things, like you'd get a couple of shots of gameplay in, but it was mostly like stuff that was filmed specifically for the ad.
Yeah, like now it's like 30 seconds of trailer and like a couple sound bites from the game, and then it's like, pre-order now for this such and such bonus. Only at GameStop. Power to the players.
I would have loved to have seen that. Pre-order blast processing now. You get that? I'd love to see those pre-order ads at the end of old adverts to be this, hey, you still don't own a Sega CD? Pre-order one now and you might in the future.
I'm looking forward to that. But now it's like fucking, it's either like, you know, a movie trailer type thing or like a much, whatever that word is. Red versus Blue. And,
Oh, Machinima.
Yeah, thank you. And it's just, it's boring now.
Yeah, like, it's not as fun. We're not going to remember any, like, trailers from this era of gaming.
Nah, not at all. Like, I'll remember a couple. But they were all, like, for the Japanese audience. They were not for the American audience, or the Western audience in general.
Which commercial are you talking about that you would remember from this gen?
I fucked it up. I fucked it up so bad. There was the Type-Zero commercial that had, like, Zero playing. And then there's the one that had Utakata playing. It was the first time anyone had ever heard that song. And it was, like, one of the hypest things I've ever seen. But, like, you'll never get that in America again. You'll just get, like, you know, generic orchestra music and two sound bites and... In a world where guns and greatness take over.
Sorry, I was wrong, because there is an ad recently that I like because it's so stupid. And that's the Mortal Kombat X trailer, which uses...
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah. What does it use? What song does it use?
Chop Suey.
Yeah, it uses Chop Suey, that fucking stupid song, and it works so well because it's so like, ooh, we're being edgy. It's so cringeworthy, I love it.
Again, any other game series, if they use that, it would be, oh, that's so creative. It's just like using Let the Bodies Hit the Floor. But the fact that it was Mortal Kombat, and it's just kind of embracing the joke.
The gameplay, like, it weirdly fits it somehow.
Yeah. Like, I really like that ad. But, like, that's the first ad I remember seeing in, like, the last, God, 5 or 6 years at least, that really, you know, seemed like a proper ad and not just, oh, here's a 15-second trailer of such and such, and oh, get your DLC now!
Yeah, to be fair, is it a little bit ironic complaining about an advert inside of an advert for DLC, since they're essentially just trying to sell you whatever they fucking can anyway.
That's true. It's just like, I want a proper game ad again. I don't want just, okay, trailer. Oh, here's GameStop. And it's like, yeah. It's
actually,
so
Mr. MixelPixel just linked the ad for Seaman, which is just a pair of legs on the side of a bed. And what does it say? It says, I can't read the text, but it says stuff about, I will not be, something about your species, like you'll not do something outside of your species, or something. It's weird. That Seaman ad that was posted in the chat is exactly the type of ads that we're talking about.
I remember, let's go into magazine ads a little bit, too, because, like, some of those are more memorable for me than TV ads, because I got a lot more of those. And I remember, like, back when Game Sharks were a huge thing, they would used to have, like, these, like, two-page, like, fold-outs, and it would look like a normal family picture, or, like, a normal, like, centerfold fold-out or whatever at first, and then you open it up, and then the person has a shark mouth. Or, like, the family is, like, people with shark mouths. I don't know.
Oh, I remember ads that were similar to that.
Yeah. And it's like, it was always so creepy, but it stuck with me. It was memorable. And you won't get that anymore either.
Also, I just want to say that the text on the ad, it says, I will not mate outside my species over and over again.
Oh, like writing on a blackboard.
It's an ad. No, not writing on a blackboard, but it just keeps saying it. But it's like, that's an ad that's about bestiality for a game that isn't about bestiality. It's just about raising a weird fish person and saying, what is that ad saying? This game is so good, it will make you contemplate and then feel guilty about wanting to have sex with a fish person.
The game is so real that this creature will burst out of your TV and bang your wife.
Do you think there is such thing as, like, bronies, but for people who like the game scene, man? That, like, imagine their OC characters of them as, like, fish seamen people?
I'm going to search on DeviantArt.com for.
Oh God, don't. Are you going to search for Seaman fan art? I do not see that working out for
anyone.
No,
this is going to work out perfectly. I need to kill a couple minutes anyway.
Someone in the chat, please look up Seaman fan art and see if it's more disturbing than prolapsed anus or people without eyelids.
Let's see. I am on the mobile DeviantArt site.
Oh, you've got the mobile site ready.
Yeah. Well, I already see furry art, so there's that. Tell me if it tastes funny, why don't you? Oh my god. Somebody has turned themselves into a seaman.
I fucking knew it. I knew it. There are furries and bronies, but for seaman.
Oh my goodness. PewDiePie seaman fan art.
Oh, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh no, I wish I were.
That's definitely more disturbing than a prolapsed anus.
Oh my goodness. There's an old guy, I guess the captain.
That tell me if it tastes funny to you picture was linked in the chat, and that's fucking hilarious. That's great. That's a great picture. That's worth almost seeing the equivalent of a terrible prolapsed anus.
There's more PewDiePie. Good God.
Wait, did PewDiePie, like, play Seaman or something? And that's why he's getting loads of fan out of it?
Apparently. I don't want to look and find out.
Bleh.
Oh my goodness. I'm finding more than I expected. And I don't like it.
Oh my god, you sound so, like, disparaged. Like, all your energy has been sapped out since you found out that there's PewDiePie / Seaman crossover fanfiction.
Well, that's after I found out there was Full House crossover fanfiction with B-Movie last night. Rated M. I remember,
Is that the movie of Jerry Seinfeld where he plays a bee?
Yes, it is. I'm going to look this up here. I brought it up to troll Nick on the podcast, and then I trolled myself. Full House Cross B Movie on Google. A Trip to the Zoo, Chapter 1. And trigger warning, gore, vor, a lot of bestiality with BX Human.
I'm slightly curious, but not enough to see what that means.
Oh god! I'm not reading that. I'm not reading that. No, I'm not reading that line out loud.
Okay. I have another person, Mr. Mixle Pixel. I'm never gonna get your name right, so fuck it. Says I remember an advert for the Mad Cats controller, which was the new wireless controller.
Yeah!
It showed
a girl giving one.
Yeah, and the doctor's about to cut the umbilical cord, and it said something like, "You don't want to be corded, do you?"
Was that Mad Cats or was that Pelican? Because I remember a Pelican one like that. I can't remember exactly, but I do remember that ad.
You don't get cheaply made controllers now, do you? I guess that's just because of the effort that goes into
controllers
or whatever.
No, you still can get cheaply made ones. Like, we sell them at work. Like, there's Afterglow ones, and, like, Walmart has their own store brand PS3 controllers.
They're I feel like PS4 shit. Controllers.
They're starting to do that now, too.
Really? I thought they were, like, weirdly integrated into the PS4.
I think they are. I'm not entirely sure. Next time I'm at work, I'll confirm this, but... they can do that with the PS3 now, and it's really bad. And a lot of people don't have a choice, because controllers are so fucking expensive now. They're, like, the same price as a game.
Yeah, that's a good point. And official controllers used to be pretty expensive in the first place, too.
Yeah. Well, like, they were, like, $30, which is, you know, reasonable for, like, the PS2 or Dreamcast or whatever.
But I would say it's reasonable for that.
Well,
it is,
compared to now.
Well, compared to now, but now they're a lot different. They're wireless, for one thing.
Yeah, but I still can't justify paying the price of a full game for one controller. I think that's a bit...
Yeah. No, I'm not defending it at all. I'm just saying that they were always outrageously priced.
true. Well, like Wiimotes weren't really like terribly priced compared to others at the time.
Yeah, but like, there weren't. Were there cheapo Wiimotes that you could get?
Yeah, there were.
Oh, see, it surprises me more that you get motion controls for them because it sounds like a lot more effort than you would get for making these like terrible controllers because they were always so clunky and bad. And god, if you
you'll never get like.
If you were player two, you always had to use that fucking terrible controller.
We actually had a discussion about this on the podcast a couple weeks ago about bad controllers, like shitty Mad Catz controllers. I think the worst one I ever had was these PS1 controllers I picked up for $5 called The Rock. And this was at the time of DualShock controls. And this did not have analog sticks or anything. It was just kind of like a cheap plastic boomerang with bad buttons, but I bought 5 of them for $20 because they were on sale, and I was dumb and impressionable.
Why did you buy 5 of them?
Because my family would go through controllers like hotcakes back.
Wait,
in the day.
What? Would they like eating the cords? Like spaghetti, like put in the each side of the thing inside your mouth. And then, like, meeting in the middle and, like, munching on one controller.
Mommy, these noodles are really good. Oh my god, I ate another PlayStation controller.
Yeah, well, no, I'm thinking of it as a more romantic thing, like Lady and the Tramp.
I don't want to think about that at all. Mr. Mixmaster Mike says, I saw a commercial for Bassmaster with the tagline that says, size matters.
I was referring to penises.
You always get that with any type of outdoor game, except for Duck Dynasty, because Christians.
Actually, to be fair, I forgot what I was just going to say, because I'm an idiot, but yes, for some reason a lot of adverts in the 90s used the term size matters. Oh, I remember what I was going to say now. It related to me asking about Bomberman's dick, because we were talking about dicks in general. So remember that's still on the plate if you want to talk about Bomberman's dick.
We need to answer that after this next song block. But go ahead and finish what you were saying real quick.
Yes,
I just realized we've been talking about this for 30 minutes. This is longest conversation.
And it was actually a good topic that we could have prepared for.
yes.
So, yeah, it was like how I was being at the beginning of the show, me being the edge master and all. But, like, yeah, for some reason, the 90s were very keen on being, like, edgy for some reason. Yeah. Like, or apart from Nintendo, I guess. Well, I guess even Nintendo had their share of edgy ads. But, yeah, they were just so interested in... Do you think maybe it was, like, the grunge era where it was like, oh, rebel or something like that? Even though you're rebelling against a multi-million-dollar corporation.
Yeah, because
I just mixed that up. You're in fact cooperating with a multi-million-dollar organization to make a statement about being rebellious, which is even more ironic.
That was the 90s for you. That's why, like, the wrestling boom where, you know, you had Stone Cold Steve Austin going against Mr. McMahon. It was like cool and edgy to rebel against multimillionaires. But still pay those multimillionaires to rebel against multimillionaires?
Yeah, we're going to market
towards
having an attitude against the corporate world and then just sell you products.
Exactly. But let's get into this last song block real quick, because it will end with 10 minutes left in the show. So, we're going to go into one more. This is my personal block. Going to take you deep into the night with some smooth jazz and, you know, just something relaxing. So, you guys enjoy, and we will be back soon.
See ya.
You're listening to Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7. Sega!
And we're Hello. Back. That was my block. Hold on. I fucked it up so bad.
Don't even
that
was a
Brett. That was a remix of Yukiko Amagi's theme, the Princess Amagi traditional taste mix from Persona 4 Arena, Sea Bottom Seg from Sonic Lost World. That was then there was Amarel from Radio War. It was a OC remix from Shinmu. And then, you know, to follow up all that smooth and calm stuff, we had Ride the Fire from Guilty Gear Xrd. So, yeah, that was...
We actually had a question posed to us by, I'm going to say it, listener of the day, since he's been getting the most mentions on here, Mr. Mixel Pixel. You're the listener of the day, even though I haven't gotten your name right once.
You got the Sir Shiggity Award for listener of the day.
The Sir Shiggity Award for this week. But if Bob's Burgers was going to have a Sega-themed burger of the day, Brett, what would it be?
You go first.
Well, I was going to say the Vector Hamburger.
Is it like all the meats like rolled into balls, basically?
Yeah, you just get balls of meat and just shove them into your mouth. It's like meatballs. Yeah, the Vector Hamburger would just be a stack of meatballs, really.
Like a stack of meatballs between bread.
Yeah, and you could have, like, the lettuce sort of wrapping up to make it green, almost. You could just you could make, like, a little
a cabbage
Vector...
roll burger.
Yes, you could make, like, a little Vector Man figure out of lettuce and, like, globs of meat. And, like, you could just give it to people as, like, oh, I've got a little action figure and a tasty treat.
It's brilliant!
So, what was yours? That's the Vector Hamburger. What was your one?
Mine's not as good as that one, but it's like 24 giant slabs of Angus beef between buns. And there's no end to it in sight. You just keep getting those.
I know what this is going to be.
And we're going to call it the Meat Dimension.
The Meat Dimension. That kind of works. I'd like the Golden Ring Burger with like cheese and onions. That's kind of cool.
You told me that
it's an actual burger, didn't you?
Yeah, it's like the Western Whopper or something like that. And it's like got barbecue sauce, a fried onion ring on top of meat, and bacon. It's quite good, actually. I've had one in the past. I don't get them often, but they're quite good. Also, Esper K says, the follow-up after the Shinmu remix scared me. Thanks, guys. Yes! Just as planned!
It would be even more creepy if you submitted in the Max Headroom clip. Him interrupting the show.
Oh, God. I'm going to re-edit the show to have that pop in.
Oh, like, God, yes. Honestly, let's do that next week.
I'm going to edit what we just said out and replace it with Max Headroom.
Oh, God. That's going to be the creepiest MP3 to go back and listen to.
You guys in the chat, you heard nothing at all. Oh, the Rodeo Burger, nothing. That's what it's called. In order to fully enjoy the restructuring, you need to take each piece of the burger apart. Oh, he's talking about the restructuring Mixel Picks.
Oh, okay, right.
I didn't know we could make burgers based on Radio Sega listeners and hosts, because then we can make the S-Berg K.
Ah, that works.
Downsize each piece of the burger, so it's like Sega. They are just a burger getting eaten.
TCB could stand for the Cat Burger, which is a burger made of cats that you can only... that you can only get in Korea. it wasn't based on listeners, it was based on Sega. But we're bringing more people into the fold this way. We're including them in our burger chats, don't you see? It's a good thing.
It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
There you go.
Oh my goodness. My goodness. Well, I think we should do some plugs at this point. We were actually pressed for time. So, Stevie, plug yourself. I'm going to go ahead and start playing the final song of the night.
Okay, I'm the Stevie Grant on Twitter. You're going to have to request to follow me at the moment, so it's a very privileged thing indeed. So go and do that, and I will look forward to you doing that. And Chucklebits Radio is a podcast that I do with someone called Michael Westcalf, who also is a plug. Sorry, I was looking at a comment at the moment.
He's some guy I've hung out with in person. I don't know his name, but, you know, he seems okay.
Yeah. So Michael Westcott, I do a podcast of him. It's called Chucklebits Radio. Just search for that. Or chucklebitsradio.tumblr. No, don't. I'm being you now. I'm completely messing up your name and things. This has been the episode of messing things up, which is why we're going to be fired. We're fired after this episode.
We're fired for playing Speak With Your Heart.
Speak With Your Heart is a fucking good song, right?
And God!
We've just proven that Mr. Mixel Pixel is better than TCB because he likes Speak With Your Heart, which is a good song.
Stevie, do you remember that time that Crush 40 played a concert in, like, at E3? And, like, Johnny Gioli was like, Speak With Your Heart! And he was expecting, like, a big, like, pop for the song. And then nobody popped for it. He's like, oh, let's try that again. And then they finally realize, oh, we're supposed to cheer for this.
It's so awkward and cringeworthy. The song is still good, but at that moment it is really cringeworthy.
Yes, oh my god. If you don't know what we're talking about, look up Sonic Boom is Utter Insanity or something like that. It was posted by Jim Sterling, a former SIG addict, actually. And it's pretty funny. And pretty awkward. And did you have anything else to plug, Stevie?
No, apart from the fact that I would like to say, Brett, I'm sorry, I realized I've been interrupting you throughout this episode. And I think maybe I was just trying to be a little too much edgy, so I'll dial the edginess back. I'll only have three corners for the next episode, and I'll be more polite. I'm definitely going to be more polite and not interrupt people.
So you're going.
So anyway, what were your plugs this week?
So you're going from Dante to Ryuko at this point.
Yes.
Anyways, exactly. I am Rainmaker.
So yes,
Arkansas,
do you say your puns because we've got to get this quickly so we can play the song. Come on, Brett.
I'm Rainmaker on Twitter.
Right, come on, we've got just
Zach and Rainmaker on YouTube. I am Cyvenger on PSN. We are at Sega Addicts on Twitter. We have streams this week. Riel and SegaFace are playing Yakuza tomorrow night on Ridiculous Wednesdays. And then myself and TJ Kitsune are playing Street Fighter 3 Third Strike on Thursday Throwdowns. This all goes down on twitch.tv/SegaAddicts. Hopefully we'll see some of you guys there. It's a good time. And, we had a new episode of the Sega Addicts podcast go out this morning, episode 20. It's on sega-addicts.com. It's a really fun show. Please go check it out. Anyways, I am done talking. We are out for the People's Champion, Stevie Grant.
Hello, bye. And enjoy this song you apparently all hate.
And Scotty Mofo Show. I am Beef McKinley Jr., and I will see you guys next week. Peace out, crackers. Speak with your heart.